This is Jay Sekulow. We've got a special on our brand new book about Jerusalem.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I haven't looked forward to hosting a praise program more than this in a very, very long time. Welcome to Nashville, Tennessee. Jay, you're our guest all hour.
Yep.
The topic, Jerusalem.
Yep.
We are sitting with Jay Sekulow, the author of a book simply entitled Jerusalem.
We always talk about Israel as this small country that has all this attention, but go inside the country and then you have Jerusalem, up to the hills of Jerusalem. And so you have this not that large of a capital, considering the size of the whole country, but that has been the flashpoint since the beginning of the Bible. So when you look at Jerusalem, you have to look at it biblically, because there's biblical evidence supporting the existence of Jerusalem as a Jewish state. Archaeology, additional evidence. So you've got the book of books, the Bible, clearly evidence. I mean, it's a contemporaneous recorded history of what was taking place there. You couldn't get better evidence. What we've done in the book is establish the right of this to exist, and I present it in such a way that I anticipated every opposition question that would come and answer it, so that the viewer, the people that read the book, will be able to defend Jerusalem as the capital. The reader can defend Jerusalem as the capital.
Wow. Jay Sekulow.
No one like you, Jay.
Wow.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And this is another special broadcast that we put together. I had an opportunity to sit down with Matt and Laurie Crouch just a couple weeks back and discuss our brand new book, Jerusalem, which is only right now available at tbn.org. That's the only place you can get right now. It'll be in the bookstores at the end of June, but right now that's the only place it's available. So I had the opportunity. We had a long relationship, my goodness, 3 decades at least, with the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And we partnered with them on this book through their Trilogy Publishing Company. And, I mean, hundreds of thousands of copies going out of that book already.
That's right. You can find that at TBN, actually. It's website, tbn.org, right now.
Only place you can
You can get the book. It will expand to distribution later on throughout the summer. But tbn.org, you'll see it's very easy to find. You'll see a picture of Jerusalem, and it is the new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. You've heard us talk all week about Israel, and there's a reason. Obviously, Israel very much in the news with what's been going on. And it's an interesting time to be alive and be supporting the state of Israel.
It sure is. And I had a great chance to sit down with Matt and Laurie, and they asked me some great questions. Because this is really, we laid out the case of why Israel is not only the Jewish national homeland, both legally, biblically, archaeologically, historically, but also Jerusalem as its eternal capital. So this was something we began researching. I began researching years ago. This book's been on my heart for over a decade. But I started the real research on this book about 3 years ago at Oxford. And this is the third book in a series we've done. The first book was Rise of ISIS. The second book was Unholy Alliance. And then the third book in this trilogy of books was the book that's out now, Jerusalem. And as Logan said, it's available at tbn.org. The only place you can get it right now. And then later in the summer, it's going to be available in bookstores everywhere, Amazon. We'll have it offered in July and August. But right now, it's available through tbn.org.
That's right. We'll keep you updated when it is in different distributors. But if you want it right now, tbn.org is the way to get it. And this is a great broadcast that was done again for TBN on Praise just a few weeks ago. It just aired recently, and you're able to hear it here against Matt and Laurie Crouch.
Somebody interviewing me.
It's fun to hear. Exactly. Matt and Laurie Crouch interviewing you about everything that's going on with Israel, and of course, this book.
And by the way, of course, you may have seen on TBN this week that we've come to you a couple of times from Israel. So we were there with Matt and Laurie Crouch, and they've been airing those as well. So a lot of good, exciting things happening.
That's right. It's an exciting time. I think we've lived an interesting time period for the state of Israel, and now to have actually some positive moves is a pretty enlightening moment, to say the least. Again, tbn.org is where you can get the book right now, and you'll see it's really easy to find. You just go to the website, you'll see it.
Yeah, and again, we partnered with TBN on this. It's the first book we've done with TBN's affiliate, Trilogy Publishing. We're really excited about it because it gets in, and they've got such a huge platform, and it's such a timely book as we talk about Jerusalem. So a lot more ahead to talk about.
That's right. We'll go to that coming up shortly.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and now we'll begin our special presentation of Praise that happened just a couple weeks ago with Matt and Laurie Crouch interviewing my dad, Jay Sekulow, on his new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Take a listen.
Jay Sekulow is the chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, one of the most prestigious law firms in the country. He is an accomplished Supreme Court advocate, renowned expert on religious liberty, a number one New York Times bestselling author, and a respected broadcaster.
I believe to be an informed citizen of the United States, you have to, and around the world, frankly, for that matter, you have to understand the significance of Jerusalem. Why is it that one city in one place has garnered so much world attention since we have recorded history? Why is it? Now, I believe it's because of God himself, that God, the Lord, orchestrated in his timing, in his way, for Jerusalem to be that eternal city. That's why they call it the eternal city.
Jay is an attorney with a passion for protecting religious liberty, freedom, and democracy. Please welcome Jay Sekulow, coming up on Praise.
I haven't looked forward to hosting a Praise program more than this in a very, very long time. Welcome to Nashville, Tennessee. Jay, you're our guest all hour.
Yep.
The topic, Jerusalem.
Yep.
You're a lawyer.
Yes, sir.
You're a Supreme Court lawyer. Right. You wrote this book like you were preparing a case to argue.
Exactly.
Why Jerusalem? Why is this important?
Well, look, I mean, Jerusalem is in the news every single day. I mean, I just got a news alert 2 minutes ago as we're talking on the set about an incident that took place in a checkpoint in Jerusalem literally minutes ago. Yeah. So Jerusalem is in the news. And when you look at the fact that Jerusalem has been the eternal capital of the Jewish people since the beginning of the Jewish people as a nation, you have to understand that you know, we always talk about Israel as this small country which has all this attention. But go inside the country and then you have Jerusalem, up to the hills of Jerusalem. And so you have this not that large of a capital, considering the size of the whole country, but that has been the flashpoint since the beginning of the Bible. So what I wanted to do, there's a lot of books out there about Israel and why Israel should exist, and we cover those topics. You have to. That's the right thing to do. But what I wanted to do in this book is approach the existence of Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people as if it was a Supreme Court case.
Got it.
So what do you do when you have a Supreme Court case? You want to have three primary themes, three things that you come back to consistently throughout your entire briefing and the oral argument to focus on the fact of what's at stake. So when you look at Jerusalem, You have to look at it biblically, because there's biblical evidence supporting the existence of Jerusalem as a Jewish state. Archaeology, additional evidence. So you've got the book of books, the Bible, clearly evidence. I mean, it's a contemporaneous recorded history of what was taking place there. You couldn't get better evidence. Then you have the archaeological evidence. I call it the physical evidence, the evidence that shows what was taking place in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And then you have the legal, because there are, we live in a world of law, and the international law is very clear about the existence of Israel and particularly Jerusalem. But I looked at it through that lens as if I was arguing a case at the Supreme Court. Over the last, several years, I've had some pretty fascinating cases, including presenting Israel's interests at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. I represent the President of the United States currently. I have had, as you know, and you all have been covering this for, we go back a long time. Yeah. Actually, I looked at this set. I know this set. This was the original set, or the second original set for our broadcast so many years ago. Now, and I look at the whole aspect of Jerusalem, and you realize when you look at it through that lens that it's not just Israel's the flashpoint of history, but Jerusalem is the flashpoint of history. So the idea was to establish for the reader what a defense for the right of Jerusalem to be its capital, which, by the way, should be a non-issue. I mean, I was very happy when my client, the president, said that, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's been on the books, Matt and Laurie, for 20 years. We had law that said the president could recognize Jerusalem as the capital. And then this president boldly did just that.
Yeah.
So the recognition that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which is fact, has now been recognized by the United States government as fact. And I think is in our lifetime, I don't think anybody thought we would actually see it. And as I said, it's on the book for 20 years, but now it's a reality. So that I think that speaks well, not only of U.S. policy. I also said, I'll tell you this, another kind of in the baseball team. And this is family, because Lord knows we've been on TBN for, I have to go back 30 something years now. I had the opportunity to talk to the president and vice president when this was being decided, before the panic call to you that it was being decided sooner than we thought.
The panic call.
Yeah, because the book was going to be had to be moved up. And I mean, I remember in discussing it with the president and the vice president that I said, this is something that will, God will honor this moment in our history as a people and a country.
Yeah.
At this particular time in history. And as I said, I mean, who thought it would line up like it has? But it has. God knew.
Yeah. Well, and just think of the privilege of being, you're kind of in the middle of that.
Yeah.
You know?
I cannot describe to you what it is. I mean, it's like with the Supreme Court, I always think about this. I always think about when I go do the Supreme Court cases that my grandfather was a Russian immigrant to the United States and his grandson gets to argue at the Supreme Court of the United States. Yeah. But when you walk into the White House or the Oval Office, you've been there, but to go there and have the privilege and honor to counsel a president of the United States on anything is a very humble. I can't tell you how humbling that
much
is.
Much less something as important as moving the embassy,
mean, the work that went into our government doing what they did is monumental. But I had this on my heart, this book on my heart for years. I mean, this was the third book in a series. This is what I planned to be kind of the opus. And we did The Rise of ISIS was the first book, which dealt with the whole ISIS situation and the terrorism. And then we did, which you all covered great, Unholy Alliance, which was the whole Russia, Syria, Iran situation, which unfortunately we're seeing as we speak. Mm. And then the third in the book series was going to be Jerusalem. That's kind of the cap in, and ultimately those three books will be one opus. But this was the most important. And I'm just thrilled that we were able to do it with you all. I mean, I can't imagine it could come out any better than be partnering with TBN on this.
We are sitting with Jay Sekulow, the author of a book simply entitled Jerusalem. And it is our monthly gift this month. All the information is on the screen. And if there's ever a book that you're going to own, that you're going to have, that you're going to read concerning why Israel matters, why it has the right to the land, a Supreme Court constitutional lawyer that's argued how many cases now at the Supreme
Dozen.
Court?
And we've had 20. I mean, we've 20 cases. Not all have arguments, so 20 cases.
20 cases, the Supreme Court, this was written like that. Okay, take us into those chambers.
Yep.
You're looking into the faces of the justices. Yep. kind of walk us through. You have to walk through, I guess, doors that are kind of semi-shaped like the Ten Commandments and all that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so there they are.
Yeah.
Walk us in there and give us your opening statement.
So when you go to the Supreme Court of the United States, the oral arguments are only 30 minutes.
Okay.
30 minutes each side.
So you only have 30 minutes.
Yeah, and usually what happens, and then, of course, you've had hundreds of pages of briefing that's gone on.
Sure.
So I call this, the oral argument is kind of the fun part, but the real meat of the case is the briefing. But you've got 30 minutes where you're going to be on a public exhibition, in a sense, before nine justices of a court that generally, when I start a case, I think my record time is I once got about a minute and a half into my argument before I started getting hit with the questions. I have had two cases, one that was 28 seconds, and one when you say these words, and you say it the same time, they call the case name and number, and they say, Mr. Sekulow will now hear from you. And then I say, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. And on one of my cases, I said that, and it like, I mean, 9 seconds later, before you get to your argument. So I wrote the book and saying, okay, let's assume this is gonna be what we call a hot bench. That means a bench with a lot of questions. They're going to be asking the questions. Now, when you prepare for a Supreme Court case, I've thought through just about every question they could ask a dozen times or more than that, 100 times. And you know in your head, if that question comes, what you're going to respond. So here's what happens with the questions, the way I prepare a case, and that's the way I wrote the book. I get so familiar with what their question might be that they could start the question and I could finish the question.
Wow.
So I knew going into this book that there was a whole body of literature on the other side of this issue, that the Israelis are occupiers of Jerusalem, that the Jews have no right to Jerusalem, that the Jews have not been a consistent presence in Jerusalem. The fact is, history, evidence, and law establishes exactly the opposite. So I just gave you the three primary points. You know what the questions are going to be. And you have to take that, you have to presume what the question will be, and then be ready with the defense. So you're writing a book, like writing an oral argument out. I always write them out. I never look at the notes. Well, I have this nice notebook. Your Colby May, has been with me in co-counsel's table. I take the book up there. I have yet to turn a page.
Wow.
In doing this more than a dozen times. I mean, the book's there. It's like a security blanket. Yeah. You know it's there, but you never get to it. So when I put the Jerusalem book together, I wanted to explain and really give the evidence for, biblically, as I said, legally, archaeology, which is great evidence, the defense of Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish people. And I knew what the questions would be. And as I told you, it's the Israelis are the occupiers. They have no right to the land.
All right. We'll be right back with more from the special from Matt and Lori Crouch presenting Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. You can get it right now at tbn.org. It'll be available later on in the summer wherever books are sold.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and now we'll begin our special presentation of Praise that happened just a couple weeks ago with Matt and Laurie Crouch interviewing my dad, Jay Sekulow, on his new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Take a listen.
But people don't understand the history of this. So we wrote this book, I wrote this book with the team, and it was based on a lot of study we did in Oxford, at University of Oxford in England. I'll tell you what happened. I became a student of history with Benjamin Disraeli. First Jewish Christian Prime Minister of Great Britain. He used to just, when people would ask him his religious experience, his religious faith, sometimes he would say that he was Jewish by race, Christian by creed. Other times he would say, I'm the blank page between the Old and New Testament, you know, which is a great line. But he actually wrote a defense before the modern Zionist movement really was known, which was Theodore Herzl, late 1890s. Disraeli wrote a pamphlet that was called Dealing with the Eastern Question. The Eastern Question was Israel, Turkey, Russia. Yeah. Yeah. And he laid out a plan for the establishment of a modern Jewish state back in the 1870s, 1860s. Wow. So you've got this history. I put all of that together. He has this great line in the book, and it opens with this, actually. And he talks about, he was a novelist, and he wrote this book called Tancred, and another book called Alroy. And it was this yearning for a Jewish homeland, and Jerusalem is the capital. What do we want? What is that we need? Our beautiful city, our ancient customs, our way of life, Jerusalem. So what I wanted to do was start with that premise, that the right of the Jewish people to have Israel as their capital is established on three bases. And the bases, as I said, go back to the Bible itself, the archaeological evidence, because you need hard evidence. When you do a case, you want to have hard evidence. I mean, a book is great, mm-hmm. but you want to, so what is the other evidence that you have? You know, some people will say that it's very hard to get a conviction on when you don't have evidence.
Yeah.
What is the evidence of the wrongdoing? What is the evidence of the breach? So here, what is the evidence of the Jewish existence in Jerusalem? So we dug really deep. And of course, you all go to Israel, you've got beautiful studios in Israel, you're there all the time. And you know that the archaeological findings are every day. I mean, the city of David, that's been in the last 10 years. So this was right outside the city walls of Jerusalem. So what we've done in the book is establish the right of this to exist, and I present it in such a way that I anticipated every opposition question that would come and answer it, so that the viewer, the people that read the book, will be able to defend Jerusalem as the capital.
If the nine justices were, these camera lenses mm-hmm. turned into the nine justices,
sure.
What would you feel like your first 90 seconds? What would you say to them in your first 90 seconds of an opening
speech? I would turn right to the justice and say, Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. The right of the Jewish people to occupy Jerusalem as capital is not just recognized because of a 1947 and ultimately 1948 declaration by the United Nations, but it exists from time immemorial. And that's how I would start the case. Yeah. So you set this predicate, because people think of Israel often, they'll say, the beginning of the modern state of Israel. So we have the declaration by Balfour from the Great Britain, who were the mandate. I mean, remember, Israel was a mandate. Jerusalem was under a mandate,
yep.
That was controlled by Great Britain after World War I, when they split up the areas. And I had a chance to read while at Oxford Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence. So people don't understand this. Lawrence of Arabia was very pro-Arab, but also very pro-Zionist, which we look today and say, how could that possibly be? But it made perfect sense. He got upset because the Brits had promised Jerusalem to something that the Turks may be able to keep it, which of course was not going to happen, that the Arab nations would have Jerusalem as well, and the Jews. So they kind of promised that they called it A, B, and C. And I actually got T.E. Lawrence's letters. His actual letters that he wrote, sitting in a library, the Bodleian Library at the University of Oxford. I mean, this ancient library with tremendous history. And there I am going through T.E. Lawrence's letters.
Wow.
And then you have to go through thousands of them to get to the ones that mean something for this. And I incorporated this in the book, because this is contemporary evidence again. So you don't just start in 1947 and 1948. And you go, but obviously you discuss that. That's important. Then you go back to the the Balfour Declaration and World War One and what that means. So that was the British mandate control times, and the promise was made to the establishment of a Jewish state, which would include Jerusalem. Then you go back to, so I'm working backwards.
Got it.
So you're going backwards in the sense that you're going from the modern era backwards. And then I go all the way back, I mean, all the way back to the Bible and the Jews coming over and occupying Jerusalem. And even down, this is an important part. It is all, this is one of the myths. So myth one, the second question I would say is, the argument of the other side that there's not been a Jewish presence in Jerusalem since time immemorial is incorrect as a matter of law. It is incorrect as a matter of scripture. It is incorrect as a matter of evidence. Because even at times of incredible dispersion, where there was, the Jewish people were literally dispersed across the world, you always had a remnant. Now, sometimes that remnant was small. We talked about this before we went on air. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that remnant was 100, sometimes it was 50. Sometimes the lowest number I ever saw was 12, which I think is very significant, yeah, as you mentioned, Matt, with the 12 tribes of Israel. But there was always a remnant. Now, they were a persecuted minority as a remnant, but there was always this Jewish remnant. So the third argument that you'll get is God is not into the real estate business. That's what you'll, that's what a lot of the, when the pro anti-Israel, anti-Jerusalem as the capital of Israel forces, they'll make this, because we use the scripture. You have to use the scripture. It's valid evidence. They will say, how could it be that God promised this block of land to the Jewish people? God is not in the real estate business. So my answer to that question is, actually, God is in the real estate business and was very specific as to the boundaries of the real estate business and was very specific as to the capital being Jerusalem, the holy city. So this argument that you'll see being made, that God's not in the real estate business, how could you say God gave this land to the Jews? It's supported, again, biblically, evidence of the, you've seen the archaeology, and of course, legally. And then, which I think is equally important here, I take it to the modern era. Right now, we are litigating a case right now in the U.S. District, now in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, where we're representing an area called Gush Etzion. Gush Etzion, you probably have been through it, Matt and Laurie, and didn't even know you were going through it. It's called a settlement, and this is, and the other side calls it occupied territory.
Got it.
Right. So this is a small block of land. It's called the Gush Etzion block, and we represent the Gush Etzion Foundation, which controls the block. But what people don't know about the history of Gush Etzion, Ben-Gurion made a famous statement right as he was declaring the independence, or recognize, you know, the Israeli declarance of independence. And he said, there is a Jewish Jerusalem today because of the valiant efforts of the individuals at Gush Etzion.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is, if you had a map, Gush Etzion, you'd have Jerusalem here, Gush Etzion 4 miles down the road. Wow. And most of the soldiers and a lot of the residents of Gush Etzion were killed during the war for independence for Israel. I mean, completely wiped out. But Ben-Gurion made that statement, there is a Jewish Jerusalem today because of Gush Etzion. And the fascinating aspect about this is that there's been a lot of Gush Etzion type experiences throughout history to keep Jerusalem as the Jewish capital, the recognized capital of the Jewish people. So you have Gush Etzion in what I would call more of the modern era. But there are Gush Etzion moments throughout Scripture. There's Gush Etzion moments today. I mean, as I said, 2 minutes before we went on the air, I got an alert, and that said that there was an attempt at the checkpoint to get bombs into Jerusalem. Now, they caught it at the checkpoint. But I think about that. This is, nothing has changed in 5,000 years.
Wow.
I mean, nothing has changed.
All right. We'll be right back with more from the special from Matt and Laurie Crouch presenting Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. You can get it right now at tbn.org, and it'll be available later on in the summer wherever books are sold.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and now we'll begin our special presentation of Praise that happened just a couple weeks ago with Matt and Laurie Crouch interviewing my dad, Jay Sekulow, on his new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Take a listen.
We are sitting with Jay Sekulow. The book all month is simply entitled Jerusalem. I've got a quick question that I want to ask. Who, when you were at any one of your 12 cases that you were arguing there, who was a particularly cantankerous justice that was just just someone that just kind of was after you on one of the cases? Just,
well, I mean, you know, even justices that you kind of knew you'd have could be cantankerous. But I'll give you an example. So the two closest at the time justices on the Supreme Court were Justice Antonin Scalia, is now deceased, a great justice. I really miss him. I litigated in front of him for 3 decades.
Wow.
And his best friend on the court was Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, my goodness.
Pillar opposites on politics, pillar opposites on judicial philosophy, but nevertheless, there they were. And I had a case once where they were kind of playing ping pong and I was the ball. They were batting back and forth. And a lot of times you'll have the justices will actually ask a question through another justice or to get to the lawyer, but really they're talking to the other justice. So I had another case. So I had Ruth Bader Ginsburg on a case involving, it was actually involving a young kid, I mean, I think 15-year-old. She wanted to contribute, I think it was $5, to a member of her church, Sunday school teacher, that was running for Congress. And that was illegal under then existing law. A minor could not contribute to a presidential campaign or a senatorial campaign or a congressional campaign. I mean, even if it was $5 that she saved to give to the... Well, I thought that was absurd. You can't tell people not to do that. So when the case went to the Supreme Court of the United States, we had all 9 justices. But I was trying to think, what was I going to... I knew Ruth Bader Ginsburg was going to be pretty tough on me because she's brilliant. My mother went to school with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, my goodness.
My mother worked for the newspaper, the James Madison newspaper, the Madisonian. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the editor of the Madisonian. Wow. So... she's brilliant. I mean, we disagree on a lot of issues, although she's ruled with us most of the time, I have to say. But in this particular case, I knew I had to have an example. Because one of the, it's just like we wrote the book Jerusalem. What are they, what is that justice going to ask? And I knew what they would ask was, a 15-year-old can't vote under the law, so why should they be able to contribute to a political campaign? So I thought about that. And it's the same analysis I use in the book, to kind of disposed to what the question is. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg asked me, she goes, during the argument, she goes, well, look, it seems to me that this is a pretty bright line situation. A 16-year-old can't contribute to, can't vote, so why should they be able to contribute to a campaign? And I used the example, I said, well, you know, women were not able to vote until it took a constitutional amendment to get women to vote. But they were out on the streets protesting. They were raising money for candidates that would support their position. So the right to vote that they did not have did not in any way negatively impact their First Amendment right to participate in the electoral process. So that came, I mean, I cannot tell you, Matt and Laurie, how many hours and hours and hours I thought through that. I mean, I was trying, what is the showstopper? What's the question that's going to stop the line of questioning? What's the answer that I can produce that stops the inquisition of that question, or stops the inquiry so that there's no response? So that one, I'm not going to tell you that came to me in 10 minutes. It didn't. I'm thinking about it. You know,
it's brilliant, by the way.
So well, I sat there thinking, I'm trying to remember where it happened. And I think I had just shaved or getting ready to go. And I'm just thinking, because I think about these things 24 hours a day. And it just kind of hit, wait a minute.
Wow.
She couldn't, in 1914, she couldn't vote.
Yeah.
And the suffragettes were on the street.
Yeah.
So I had the thing with the Ten Commandments, too. So we had a Ten Commandments case. And I needed a showstopper on that one. So we represented a small town in Utah, Pleasant Grove, that had this Ten Commandment monument, like the ones you see all over the country. And this group, this anti-Ten Commandments group, challenged the monument. They wanted to put up the 7 aphorisms. And the 7 aphorisms were basically the anti-Ten Commandments. So it was their version of what they think it should be. So this was not a religion case in the Establishment Clause sense of, you know, does having the monument violate the Establishment Clause? Because clearly the courts had ruled it did not. But what was interesting with this case, they challenged it on a free speech ground. So I'm thinking, how am I going to answer this question? What's going to be the showstopper on this one?
All right, we'll be right back with more from the special from Matt and Laurie Crouch presenting Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. You can get it right now at tbn.org, and it'll be available later on in the summer wherever books are sold.
Staring outside. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and now we'll begin our special presentation of Praise that happened just a couple weeks ago with Matt and Laurie Crouch interviewing my dad, Jay Sekulow, on his new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Take a listen.
So I'm walking out of the townhouse, and I go into a car, and I hear this Beatle tune in the car. I just had the radio on. It was a Beatle tune. Hey, wait a minute. There's a monument in Central Park to John Lennon's memory. It's called Strawberry Fields. And there's this mosaic called Imagine. And I said, wait a minute. Now, would the city of New York that accepted this monument have to put up a monument to the assassin of John Lennon? The answer has to be no. Oh, wow. The Statue of Liberty, you don't have to put the Statue of Tyranny next to it. So I came up with this Beatle thing, and I put it in the brief. I'm walking out the door to the townhouse, and you all know my wife Pam forever. I'm walking out. I'm saying, I'm going to incorporate that in my 30-minute argument. I'm going to do a Beatle reference. And she goes, you are not doing a Beatle reference in your Supreme Court argument. You've got it in your brief. Don't bring it up. You got octogenarians on there, and they're not going to know what you're talking about. So I didn't bring it up. However, I will say I have the only Supreme Court opinion in U.S. history that has the entire lyrics to the song Imagine in it. Right there. Footnote, I think nine. There it is. So I approached it the same way.
I love that.
Just trying to, what are they going to ask? What's the opposition going to say about Israel and the Jewish people in Jerusalem? And that's how I approached it.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just, this was my follow-on thing, then okay. I'll get to your thing right. Just real quick. But so I'm going to go Ruth Bader on you.
Okay.
Ginsburg, and say, but if Jews in Jerusalem is the capital and the Jews have the right to it, why is it called Palestine?
So here, the whole Palestine thing is a complete misnomer, okay? So there is no state of Palestine. Now, you've got some international institutions that are trying to make it a state. But I actually argued a case at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, but this was before the Office of the Prosecutor, this way they have their jurisdiction set up. And that was the exact argument. They said, well, you know, it's called Palestine. There's this why are not the Palestinian areas that are within Israel, including, as you know, right next to Jerusalem. Sure. I mean, East and West Jerusalem. It is, there's no light between the two places. I mean, there's a street, and they're one side Jerusalem, the other side Jerusalem, but this became the issue.
One side of our studio in Jerusalem is Jewish. The other side of our studio
is,
and the line that Moshe Dayan drew went right across our property.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you an interesting story about that line. So, but before we get to that, so the argument would be there that the fact of the matter is that under law, so this is where you go to the law, people forget that the unified Jerusalem, which happened in the Six-Day War, that under international law, and we have this in the book, once the Arab world attacked Israel, and Israel regained East Jerusalem, and unified the capital, under international law, so that's my question, answer to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the precedent is set under international law that there is no way under international law that the Jewish people and the state of Israel does not have the right to claim that territory. And there's an interesting aspect of that. And you've been there, Ammunition Hill, right outside of Jerusalem. Remember, the plan was not to take East Jerusalem. The plan originally, politically, was not, they knew this when this war happened, if East, that would be a, they thought would be politically, not legally, not militarily, politically difficult, and militarily they were concerned about it. And you sit up on this hill overlooking the Old City, and I mean it's 2 miles from the Old City, and the dust clears, and they realize, the Israeli soldiers and the generals, that East Jerusalem had pretty much been vacated. There was one Jordanian legion of troops, small, that was around the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That was it. And the order came, which was not what they originally planned, but I believe God planned, without question. And they gave the order and took the wall, took East Jerusalem, and unified the city. That eternal bond is never going to be separated. Yeah. So there's a legal answer to that question. When they drew the line of where it was going to be, the fact is the law, under international law, we have it in there, at that point, Jerusalem became, again, the unified capital of the Jewish people.
Wow. Hmm. You're up, baby.
So I'm just an American homemaker, and yep. I'm just getting my children through school, and my yep. husband's working, and why does this matter to me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a young, 18, 19, 20-year-old yep. kid just going to school.
Yep.
Why does this matter?
Because Jerusalem has been the flashpoint in world history. There's not a time in world history where there has not been a flashpoint with Jerusalem. You have to understand that history does, unfortunately, tend to repeat itself. So you have to understand the history to, in a sense, be able to rewrite it. And I don't mean that in a sinister way. Is it to put it in its proper perspective. What we did in the book was take that history and show what it really means. So if you're an 18-year-old college student or a 25-year-old with your first child or an old person like me, with grandpa like me, I should say, pawpaw, Jerusalem is the flashpoint of world history. You have to, I believe, to be an informed citizen of the United States, you have to, and around the world, frankly, for that matter, you have to understand the significance of Jerusalem. Why is it that one city in one place has garnered so much world attention since we have recorded history? Yeah. Why is it? Now, I believe it's because of God himself, that God, the Lord, orchestrated in his timing, in his way, for Jerusalem to be that eternal city. Well, that's why they call it the eternal city. Mm-hmm. I mean, this idea. But if we don't want to have history repeat itself, or at least be a force to reckon with if history does tend to repeat itself, we have to know why Jerusalem should exist. And by the way, the United States has, we have direct interests to Israel's security. I mean, look at the region of the world now. I mean, who would have thought 5 years ago? Forget 50 years ago. Yeah. Who would have thought 5 years ago? I would dare say 3 years ago. That the allies in the region would be Israel, Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. Who would have thought that?
It seemed impossible.
Well, who would have thought that the Saudis would allow Israeli jets to refuel in Saudi, not just airspace, but in Saudi airfields?
Yeah.
Because they have a common enemy in Iran. We did a whole documentary on the issue of Iran because Iran wants control over, of course, they want domination in the region, but if they could get Jerusalem, that would be the prize.
Yeah. Wow. Jesus. We are sitting with Jay Sekulow. He has written the manifesto called Jerusalem. It is our offer this month. If there's ever a book that you need for the establishment of the right of the Jewish people and their capital be Jerusalem, it is this book. The story of this book starts in Oxford, but interestingly enough, early in 2018, I was on the phone with Jay and we were discussing this book. We came to the conclusion that TBN was going to be able to offer it this month and help get this out to as many people right. as we can. And we were discussing it, and I said, Jay, sometime next year, in my mind, I was thinking 2019, yep. The United States will move its embassy down to Jerusalem and turn its now existing consulate in Jerusalem. would simply get a new office, and they were going to move that down. Yeah. And that's a great facility, by the way. The consulate there in Jerusalem is amazing. And we were thinking 2019. We agreed on roughly that marketing plan. And I thought this book was going to be being polished, and we would spend a lot of time, you know, on this book cover and all this kind of stuff. And literally, it was a matter of days afterwards that all of a sudden the announcement got made, and it's May 15th that the
And I was in Washington. I don't know where you were. You all were traveling. So I was in Washington. I was in some meetings. I called you and I said, the embassy is going to be announced as a move May 14th.
And I went,
2017.
2018.
Excuse me. And we need to be moving this marketing plan up because the world is about to change. Now, what's interesting about that, I remember exactly where I was. I was... Not to give away trade secrets, but I was outside. I mean, I just walked out of the White House. I mean, literally, like, minutes before, and was told that this was going to happen. So I called you. I said, so what they're going to do, which is a brilliant idea, they've got this significant facility, the consulate, and they are, to, as an anniversary for Israel's independence, they're going to move. The consulate will become the embassy. There's work being done on it right now. And this was only a move I think this president could have pulled off.
Yeah.
Because everybody said, how could you get it done? How could you get it done in 2019 or 2020? And this guy looks at existing real estate because he's a real estate developer and says, you know what? We have a good project right there. Let's do it. So I think it's historically significant, though, that it is at this time.
I think this book is one of the most prophetically kind of organized for you to have it done.
Yeah.
For us to discuss when we discussed, and for a days later for me to get a call from Jay saying the date's May 15th. And I went, 19, right?
Yeah, right.
No, this year, 18. I went, you know. Yep. And so you realize when somebody that argues at the Supreme Court writes a book that is basically the case, in other words, if Jay Sekulow was asked to go in front of the Supreme Court and argue for why Israel matters, why the land belongs to the Jewish people, and why Jerusalem is its capital, this book is it, okay? He's written it in book form, and it is prophetic that we are holding it in our hands as the U.S. has made this bold statement. I just can't explain how important this feels.
All right, we'll be right back with more from the special from Matt and Lori Crouch presenting Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. You can get it right now at tbn.org, and it'll be available later on in the summer wherever books are sold.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and now we'll begin our special presentation of Praise that happened just a couple weeks ago with Matt and Laurie Crouch interviewing my dad, Jay Sekulow, on his new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Take a listen.
And the 800 number on the screen, I just can't explain how important this feels for me to even be holding this book at the time in Jerusalem's history that America made one of the most bold steps in against international opinion.
Yes.
You know, this it almost goes back to about 1970, maybe 73, when Nixon stepped in and helped Golda Meir and supplied certain weapons
systems. To defend Jerusalem.
Yep. That might be as bold of a step as this is. And Ambassador Friedman, your support, Jay, you were just had a ringside seat to this whole thing. And you come out of the Oval Office and call me, and I about fall over because we're basically helping you with this. And we thought we had a year to do it. And when you said May, I said 19, right? And you said, no, 18.
I remember that part of the phone call. Right, 19, right, Jay?
No, I mean, I could tell you, I'm in my head, I am seeing the spot I am standing outside the White House, right? I mean, literally, you know, 10 feet away from the canopy. And I said, Matt, I'm talking to you.
Well, I just hear Matt mumbling.
It's not 19. He goes, it can't be. How can they do that? That's what he said. It's impossible. You can't, even Donald Trump couldn't build it that quick. That's what he said. And there it is. Now it's happened.
I mean, I am absolutely blown away. Yeah. And this is one of the most exciting monthly gift offers, by the way, I have ever held in my hand.
Well,
and I'm just thrilled about it.
Tell how it's written, how you wrote the book.
So I wrote the book anticipating every question we could think of that would be the other side of this issue of we take the position biblically, historically, prophetically that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. But there's a whole body of people that completely disagree.
Yeah.
And you have to anticipate what they're going to say. It's like the occupying force. We say it's Israel's land. The other side will say it's an occupying force. Now, I had to deal with that at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. I'm dealing with that in the courts of appeals right now in the United States on behalf of Gush Etzion and The Hague. It was getting the legal position of Israel out there. What's so, I think, so timely about this is, we talk about the history and the prophetic nature of Jerusalem, you talk about the prophetic nature. How, you know, it's like the Jews leaving Egypt. Yeah. I mean, how in the world could that all happen, right? God had to orchestrate everything to the moment. Yeah. Well, this is the same sense. I mean, how in the world would you have a moment of history? You know, we think in a time space, right? God does not. But at this moment in our history, that everything would line up so that this could happen, and there's not a World War III.
It's stunning.
I mean, like David, but he was not trying to belittle it, but he said if there was more, if they increased the cost of cottage cheese, it would be more of a protest. Yeah. Because,
well,
I mean, how do you look at history? How do you look at the current international relations and say that move of recognizing Jerusalem is not going to create a world event? And it was not even a blip. It wasn't even a speed bump.
Yeah. God. So let me just explain something. When the guy that the state of Israel calls to represent the state of Israel at the court in The Hague, and when, you know, territories and little settlements in Israel get sued and they need representation, they call Jay Sekulow. Mm-hmm. The American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow has represented legally the state of Israel in the court in Hague. Okay, he wrote the book. So let me just tell you what came to my mind. Whoever's watching this, get this book not only for yourself, get it for your pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get it for someone that needs to know this material and needs to look. I was sitting there thinking of some of the pastors that we've just recently been sitting with, just here in the first part of 2018, and how often Israel comes up just in a conversation. We might be interviewing a Chris Hodges, Pastor Chris, on a completely other matter, but Jerusalem comes up, you know, and when we're going to be there next, have you ever been to Israel? I mean, Israel shows up in conversation all the time. Here is the book that gives you the history that all of us need. And it was written by a guy that knows how to argue at the Supreme Court. Okay, the 800 is on the screen. Do it. You understood. The 800 number is on the screen. Okay, do your thing. Call that number. Get this. Grandma, grandpa, get it for your grandkids. You know, look, all young people need to read this book. They need to have it. They need to get it.
You know, you mentioned the young. I thought about the new generation.
Yeah.
You know, 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. Because there is this anti-Israel bias we're starting now to see in media. We're seeing it in the courts of world opinion. And it's called, there's actually a movement. It's called the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, BDS. And it's this idea to delegitimize Israel as a nation state and delegitimize Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish nation state. So this movement, this BDS, is global. So we're doing a lot of work on this BDS issue. You mentioned the work at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, and that particular matter. So we're presenting this jurisdictional issue of what is there a Palestinian state before the Office of the Prosecutor. I'm representing Israel's position. Israel does not recognize, nor does the United States, by the way, the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. And a lot of countries do not, because it's not our system of justice. It's not a Western system of justice. It's very political in nature. So when you go in there, you're actually representing their interests while they're not acknowledging jurisdiction.
Wow.
I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah. Yes.
But it tells you the nature of how technical these issues are. But this whole anti-Israel movement, they're targeting young people on college campuses. So when you're talking to parents and grandparents, and college students, look, you're going to see it every day on your college campus, yeah, this anti-Israel, anti-Jerusalem bias that's out there. You'll see it with academics, too. I mean, we had lawsuits where Israeli academics are denied the right to teach at a conference because they're from Israel or from Jerusalem. So we cover that there, too. So it's useful in that sense to be able to combat on a in public opinion, which is a huge part of this, and advocacy for Jerusalem as the state, its capital.
No one like you, Jay.
Wow. Jerusalem. Amazing. It is, all the information's on the screen, the 800 number's on the screen. The operators can't really argue as good as Jay can in regard to why you should have the book, but I can tell you they're ready to help you get the book. It is May, or if you're watching this broadcast anytime in 2018 or later, let me just tell you, this one matters, okay? Get it for your youth, get it for your young people, get it for yourself, get it for your pastor. It is the manifesto. You're calling it an opus. It is your, let's say, Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, this is the book that I've wanted to write my entire life. Yeah. When I wanted to write, you know, I have to write briefs all the time. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to write something that's presentable to the what I call the body politic, the citizens of our great country or around the globe, wherever you're watching, this was the book.
Yeah. It is Jerusalem, and it's available now. Jay, thank you so much.
Thanks
for what you're
me.
Doing.
Appreciate
thank you
so
for
much.
This.
Thank you for really. What you all are doing. Yeah. It's just incredible to see what's happening at TBN. Just
we'll see you next time.
All right, that's going to do it for today's broadcast of the special presentation of Praise that was by TBN from Matt and Laurie Crouch. Again, you can get the new book, Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. That's available at TBN.org. It'll be available later on in the summer, wherever books are sold, but that's the only place you can get it right now. And as we celebrate this historic week for the State of Israel, it would be a great time to take a look at this book and really all the information that we have at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next time.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at ACLJ.